Welcome back.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to Not Our Ancestors, and we are your hosts. I'm Wes. This is Joy, and this is Tay.
What's up,
hey,
guys?
And this is a weekly, well,
it's a whenever we can podcast.
We decide to drop an episode.
Dedicated to
look, don't come for us.
Right.
We here right now. You
but
listen.
We're so happy that you're listening. Thank you.
Please come back whenever we drop again.
Right. Discussing all things what? Black?
All things black and nice. Politics, culture, relationships, and what we like to call our
most valuable blacks. Boom.
So yes, what
look,
you guys
still got it.
A little interest into was
hey.
We were talking about 2021, who's basically 2020 with a wig and a bang running through the streets.
It yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Stiff wear, stiff everywhere. I can't stand 2021 either.
You know what? Honestly, 2021, it's not surprised me because I feel like we all were expecting it to be some bullshit.
Yeah.
And it's just literally amounting to being the
every
bullshit that we
else.
Expected it to be, which is okay for me because that makes me enjoy the little glimpse of like joy that we have in our moments. For example, that Lil Nas X video that we're going to talk about. So, you know, 2021 sucks, but we get these little gems that just,
that was
know,
a gem.
That was a gem,
I appreciate
guys.
It.
I'm not going to lie. I the little fucking Satan, I mean, giving the lap dance to Satan was a little, I could never come up with that in my mind.
That
but,
could just be a metaphor.
Okay.
All the other trash ass people that you done twerked for.
So, okay, so wait, are we hopping
are
into
you
Jesus?
not you specifically. I'm saying in general. You
Satan
know,
can he exemplifies all of the
all
the dick that you shouldn't have said on top of.
There it is.
Fair
that's
enough.
It, right there.
So we just gonna hop into Did You Care then? So yeah. Is that gonna be
wow.
the first one?
Yeah, that's it. That's how
okay.
we start.
So did y'all care about the video? So first of all, like the Lil Nas X video, if y'all have not seen this video,
Jesus.
The song is called Montero, and in quotes, I guess, Call Me By Your Name. And the video is, you know what I mean, one of those things where a lot of weed obviously was smoked and a lot of drugs, a lot of drugs went into the development of the concept for this video.
It looks like acid.
Lots of acid, lots of shrooms,
so I don't know
all kinds of LSD, lots of, you know what I mean?
Drugs, please.
All kinds of drugs were ingested in the production mm-hmm. of this and the development of this video. But the song essentially, it's a lot of controversy around it because people are looking at the video and people are saying like, okay, he's, you know, doing all of this very sexual stuff and he happens to be gay and oh my gosh, he's devil worshiping. And so the video is getting all of this like attention. Now me, I'm personally, I haven't heard anything other than Old Town Road from Lil Nas X. Like I would have never sought him out. I would have never like really looked into him.
True.
Right. However, you know what I mean? People, and you know how the Twitter gets when people have an attitude about something or when people get in their feelings. And people were so up in arms about this video being so bad, quote unquote, that I'm like, oh, well, now I need to see what this is about.
Right.
And let me tell you, it was everything.
It was.
The video was everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you what, on top of that, the song is a fucking bop.
Period. Right.
And I've been working out to the song since I first heard it. So it's, I mean, what did y'all, we actually, before we started recording, we let our producer listen to the song, who is, for lack of a better word, a little bit square in the pants.
He's not square.
That's
a
good thing.
He is a person from a different generation. Also
ooh,
has
shade.
That was a shade. That's a fact. I can't help when his parents birthed him. I just like, I can't help when my birth me. Like, it's what it is. And he has kids that are teenagers. So,
shade.
You
basically, he's old as shit. We
well,
get
you
it.
Have an adult. Sorry.
Oh, shade. We're, I need a shade button.
Wes, shut up. But no, no, no. But
wasn't shading anybody. It's the truth.
But so for, I'm sorry, for lack of a better term, Chad isn't somebody who is normally going to be watching a video.
As wild as we are.
But no,
that's you know
not
what I mean.
Watch videos. Who watches no. videos now? We just had this conversation.
True.
I watch Doja Cat video a lot. So,
but,
I mean,
why?
Oh, what? Are you kidding me? Doja Cat's video is amazing.
Thank
but
you.
Why do you even know there's a video? I don't follow or understand when videos are, why are we making videos and wasting money on this?
You're, so the last time you were interested in videos is when you were still watching them on like the Box.
Probably college.
The Box
no,
Network or
beyond,
whatever.
It was beyond
okay.
That.
I was going to say, so Beyonce dropped the video, you ain't going to watch it?
That's different.
Oh, see?
See, like,
okay.
So has,
you,
this is a whole project.
You watch
dropped.
Videos.
It's a whole fucking
but
series.
That's another thing. Like, the conversation about videos is hilarious, too, because other than that Doja Cat video, and I only watched the Doja Cat video because SZA dropped a video for that song, and which I only drop. So I mean, it just happens. I don't seek it.
You're not turning on your TV like, oh, what new videos are?
No.
That's my point. Like,
but you know what?
But I like the song, so I was like, when the video dropped, I was like, I'm gonna look at it.
But how'd you know the video dropped?
Because it was a silhouette. You know the silhouette challenge?
You know
challenge?
On Instagram
was,
they do
that's
those.
Where, that's where it...
I had no idea that's where that came from.
Right.
So, oh, the silhouette challenge for the Doja Cat video. Yeah.
I did not know that. That's what I mean. Yeah. I don't watch videos and I don't... Even... It took me days to go watch the Lil Nas X video because it was like, okay, everybody. Y'all are talking about this a lot. Let me go and see what the fuck this is about.
And you...
But right now, like... 9 times out of 10, if you don't mention Doja Cat to me again before we finish recording today, I probably won't go look at that video.
It's a good video,
so
too.
For me, not, this is not an endorsement. I have YouTube Prime. YouTube ain't giving us no money for this shit, so I'm just saying it. I have YouTube Prime, premium. So certain things, because I watch a lot of things that are music-oriented, or right. like I've been watching a lot
so
of
So it's suggested for you.
Yeah, it suggests stuff.
That makes sense.
But I also did... like the Doja Cat song, so it told me, it was like, hey, you might like this because it's Google.
See, that makes sense.
And that's fine, but you know, if
but
it was,
something I will told say, you to go watch the video. You didn't in your own mind say, I wonder if there's a video for this, let me go Google it.
But here's what I want to say though. Also, okay. we are aged though. Like, do you know
True.
What I mean? So
no,
like,
I agree with you.
So while we're not checking for videos, like there's a whole, like every 12-year-old, 13-year-old, you know what I mean? Like there's still
to my daughter and see how
seriously,
she
I mean, because
video.
Like,
I'm
so wait a minute.
So,
seriously, like Christian is on like YouTube all day.
That
like, you know what I mean?
Example,
so there's a whole generation of people still really into the videos, which is
I
cool.
Guess.
But okay, so we so
we say all this to say, Chad.
So, yeah. So back to this old man watching this very suggestive shit. Video. And hold on, and this is what I also want to say about the video being suggestive and the double standard when it comes to over sexualized women versus overly sexualized men and like blah blah blah. So you have this video, and I would stand to say it's just as erotic as a Cardi B video. Mm-hmm. It's just as suggestive as something like a Cardi B video. But for some reason, the fact that it's a man humping on a man who happens to be wearing a devil's horn.
We don't know what
you know what I mean?
Is, so
it's
in the video, he was a man because he was sitting there topless with his leather. Okay, so he was very clearly a man.
That
but you know,
a woman.
Not with no titties.
She could have
on
had
the...
top surgery.
Wes.
I'm dead serious.
So,
like, we have to be very careful.
I'm not
about
doing
that.
This with you. I'm not
no,
doing this with you.
Satan is so what a metaphor for the person that you probably should not be fucking.
Correct.
Like,
okay.
So it doesn't matter if it's a man or a woman, but people are going to see that Satan, they genderize him as being a male.
Okay.
Because men
that's
are
another...
trash. So it just fix. Only goes. That's okay. Why I said it earlier. Like, Satan is every trash ass.
Right.
You
okay. And he says that in the song. Right. Every dude I envy, I want to fuck.
No, he says I want to fuck the guys that I envy. Like, I mean, like, I guess, yeah, it's technically the same thing. Half of the same coin. But, like, my point is, like, when you look at the video, I'm looking at it as, like, an overly sexualized video. Yeah. Whether it's of men humping men, women humping women, it's an overly sexualized video. I didn't look at it in any other... I didn't look at it differently than I looked at the Cardi video. So now I'm like...
I see what you're saying, Joy.
So I don't appreciate the fact that, like, it's an issue because... And, like, let's be clear. It's an issue because this man is swinging on a pole.
You
know what I mean? In some boots. Like, that's why it's an issue. Like,
because
when Cardi's swinging around on a pole, nobody has a problem with
it. No, I do have a problem with Cardi, too. They say she's over-sexualized as well.
Okay, Candace Owens?
No.
Okay, so I mean,
the point is like, who fucking cares? If you feel as though, like, music artists are inspiring or influencing your kids, be a better fucking parent.
True.
Don't
that's,
allow
that's
them
the
to watch
line,
it.
Yeah.
First of all,
that's
I
what
enjoyed,
that's what Cardi said.
I did see the WAP video.
That's
so
exactly
because
what
I follow, I like Cardi B. Yeah. So I seen the WAP video as well, which that was like the last video I seen.
All the way
lit.
Until the end,
when
that one bitch walked.
But the point is. Like, if I see something in a video that I don't want my child watching because I think
never
it's
had my child watch that.
The point is, so what? Like, first of all, teach your kids better.
I know.
If they watch it, they watch it. And
yeah.
They shouldn't be out swinging on a pole unless you failed as a parent.
Or if they want to go out swinging.
Or if they're adults
or
and they choose to want to do that. Right.
If it's a family business,
Look,
listen.
Let me tell you something. I watched a documentary on Netflix, and it was about like online sex workers, people who like video like different sex stuff, and like there was a mother and a daughter They weren't in a video together. The daughter was the one producing these films, and she was making a lot of money off of it. And she's like, everybody was in her comments saying, like, you know, your mother must be upset, and, like, your dad must hate you, blah, blah, blah.
And she's like, oh, no, my mom's here getting coins. We getting coins together.
Her mom was on there, was like, no, like, my daughter's an adult. Like, what she chooses to do with her body is her business. But no, I literally agree with that. Like, I don't want my daughter to do anything that is going to make her uncomfortable or put her in harm's way. But also, she is an adult. And she can make decisions on her own. And you know, because I've had this discussion with you several times, that your decisions have consequences as well. So you need to think about what you're going to do or, you know, whatever else and figure out whether that's good for you or not. It's not my place to be like, you can't do something. Because I know somebody telling me I can't do something, you can kiss my entire ass.
Every bit of it. And I mean, I think that's another good thing too, that you brought up, you know, people's expectations of celebrities is ridiculous.
It's way too high.
Like, the fact that people expect celebrities to live up to standards that, you know what I mean, them themselves are not even living up to. Correct. Like, you're mad because she's, you know, cussing in her song, but you sit here, you cuss at your kids. You know what I mean?
And
so,
why is
or
there
whatever.
Standard, though?
You coming for Kirk Franklin?
Why is it a
situation? You know what? Let's get into it.
We could go into that. I enjoy that conversation.
Let's get into
already.
It. You know what I mean? So now let's talk about that. Perfect. Did y'all care about that? Did y'all care?
I care you know about what, you every know why single word. What I didn't care about is the fact that he apologized. For what?
Okay,
why
so for
okay, this is my thing.
So for those of you listening, if you don't know the controversy, go ahead.
Okay, so Kirk Franklin, for those of you who don't know who he is a gospel artist. I don't want to say singer, because he don't sing.
He's an artist.
He's an artist. And he, you know, his most popular song, Stomp, he's basically a hot man for gospel.
They produce.
Apparently, you know, apparently some audio was released by his son of them having a conversation that was
Son
private.
Is 33 years old.
Yes, and his adult son. A private conversation they had.
He's an adult.
And he released
adult.
Him, and basically Kirk Franklin was cussing him out. I did not hear it because I didn't care to hear it because it was private.
Oh, matters. I did.
The thing that got me was like, why is it salacious? Like, you act like people don't have conversations with each other where things are just going to be said.
So,
like, you're talking about a turmoil situation relationship between a father and a son.
Yes.
Now, just because he's a gospel artist
does not mean that he's going to be perfect.
But my thing is, I could tell by his hairline that man could cuss.
Bye,
like,
Wes.
I'm just saying.
Bye.
Like, because it was non-existent, so it wasn't perfect. So I knew he was cussing.
So I'm going to interrupt you here. Anyway, I feel as though, like, his son is grown, first of all. So it's not like he's cussing out a 12-year-old.
He's cussing a grown adult
out. Another grown adult who is being disrespectful. Let me tell you something. Aaliyah better never. You better never. Because I'm going to end up cussing you out. Probably worse than Kirk Franklin did. I think he was being, like, holding back for who he is. Like, there's no way. There's no way you're going to disrespect me and think that I'm just going to tolerate it.
Well, I helped birth you, bitch. Like, you going to catch these
words. He didn't
do
anything wrong.
Yeah.
You were being disrespectful. I put you in your place. I will slap the fuck out of you.
Right.
Don't come at me.
It's
going to
go down.
The thing about that Kirk Franklin thing that pissed me off, like you said, was the apology.
I was so angry.
And the apology came because, like, first of all, obviously PR.
Sales.
But so in the conversation, you know what I mean? So in the conversation that he was having with his son, you know, the conversation started from the audio clip that was released. The conversation started.
Released
it was
by the son.
Right. So, which is, again, you know, who's to say how many federal offenses that may or may not have been recording audio, unknowingly releasing it. Who's to say? But the conversation is started in a kind of an aggressive way. You know, Kirk Franklin, you could hear him in the background talking to somebody. So, you know, it sounded kind of like he was getting hyped up while they were he was also having this conversation with his son. And, you know, eventually he ends up saying, like, you know, you will never fucking, I will kill you, you know, or I don't even know if he said kill, let me not jump out there, but I'll hurt you, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that to me isn't necessarily, and I'm a violent person. So, I mean, my standard is a little bit high.
Can I
but
my
in a too late.
You
no.
Find it? I don't
As if you don't.
Oh, that's right. I didn't live with you. Yeah, I didn't live with you for a while. Yeah,
but
you're required to stay in your seat.
But the conversation, though,
never got put on me.
The conversation wasn't. It wasn't like a conversation where he was demeaning him. You know what I mean? It wasn't a conversation where he was verbally abusing him. He was reacting to what the son said. So for then him to come out and say, you know, I let my community down. I let people down. I'm just like, wait a minute, like, now you're letting me down, right, because now I'm mad because you're acting as if, like, he's acting as if it's more important to keep the coins in his pocket than it is to just come out, and then to come out and explain, like, yes, you heard me cuss my son out. Here's why I cuss my son out. And let me tell you why I will cuss my son out again.
And if you cuss right? none like, of y'all's business,
if you come at me crazy, so, I'll cuss you out as well.
And that's it. So I was more irritated by the fact that, like, me looking at it, I'm like, you just...
It was a personal family matter. It
was just, you just did some...
But whose fault is it? Is it more so the fault that his son released it or the blogs who perpetuated the scenario?
That's their job. That's the blogs.
But my thing is, isn't there a responsibility if you are a black blog and you know this is another black man?
Like, no. You're doing too much. You're doing too much.
Right now. I know, but
you're doing that.
We're doing the same thing the blog is
for me, it was like when I saw it, I didn't give a fuck about it because I knew it was a personal situation. I don't care.
So you wanted the blogs to have a level of integrity?
I didn't listen to the audio because I didn't care.
But Wes, we're still talking about it right now on our platform. So, like, you can't judge a blog for talking about it because it's news and it's clicks. They're trying to get clicks, just like we are.
Yeah, but I'm just a black person ain't making no money. I'm just having a conversation with my friend.
True,
but
if we were making money, you still would be talking about Kirk Franklin.
We don't know that. Y'all give me some money and maybe we'll see what happens.
I'm honestly, like, the Kirk Franklin thing, just to, like, you know, round that out, I was disappointed not in the fact that he cussed his son out. I was disappointed in the fact that he... Oh, listen, sometimes,
and especially when you have a teenager, it's like, what would you say to them? But please believe, if the things you're doing now as a teenager, you do in 5 or 10 years, I'm going to tell your ass off.
And then look at the irony of it. Like, on one side of the coin, people are super mad when the celebrities are showing them, or I'm sorry, when celebrities are doing stuff that they feel like is negatively influencing their kids, and you don't want celebrities to have all this influence over your kids. Now here's a celebrity parenting their kids.
Right.
And as soon as he does it, everybody's now jumping on him like, can you believe it? Like, what?
I listened to it and I was like, you right, Kirk.
Yeah. I didn't care. The hairline was too bothering me too much. I just didn't care.
Okay. Next.
I can't deal with you.
I still don't understand why he even has a career. Like, I don't know what he does. Like, he's a hype man. He's literally,
he gets the choir together.
What's,
who? Are you talking about Kirk Franklin?
He's a Flavor Flav gospel.
Whoa. Are you talking about what Kirk Franklin is?
No,
or are you talking
about
the son?
He is the conductor of the choir. Like,
I
he is the one.
What I said.
Well, what you said was some bullshit.
Some straight up bullshit. You can remain seated.
I never understood it. I was like, this don't make no sense. The people behind him always are more talented than he is. But I'm like, okay, whatever. Next
see?
Topic.
Yeah. Go ahead, Wes.
Next topic.
So, all right, let me see what I got here. Did y'all hear the new Silk Sonic song?
Yes, and I'm leaving the door open.
Yes, absolutely.
Ah, that song. First of all, let me say this about that song too. I love the fact that that Bruno Mars and Silk Sonic. I love the way that they bullied themselves into the Grammys because they tweeted out prior to the Grammys airing, hey, Grammys, wouldn't it be nice to have us, like, play? Because they weren't booked to do this Grammy song. So the fact, first of all, Silk Sonic, if y'all don't know, is a duo comprised of Bruno Mars and Anderson .Paak. Everybody knows Bruno Mars. Anderson .Paak, I guess, isn't as highly
recognizable,
but he's a dope ass R&B artist as well. And I love them together. It's a 60s vibe song. It's romantic. It's music. It's when I say it's music,
though.
I mean
it's
like,
vibe, but it's still current as well. Like,
I love
the stuff that they're talking about is current shit that we do and listen to.
It's the R&B
vibe that we've been missing for years.
Ooh, like, it's so
R&B,
good.
I feel like R&B fell off honestly, completely after like 2003 or four, and it's just not really been
great. It's never
great.
Fallen off. It's just the industry and people's ears don't keep on R&B unless it's popping again. Like R&B is still, music was still coming out. It just wasn't hits.
Yeah,
but it wasn't necessarily like music though. Like the R&B
and people like Maxwell and Anderson .Paak, they've all been doing this. It's just not. It's just, you know how the music industry is. It takes some time.
Yeah, but like even
they push to the forefront, music, right? The kind of pop situation.
Where are these artists?
Right. The neo soul artists. Where are the ones that like touch your heart and get you ready to go to the bedroom? Like
it's Drake. It's R&B.
That's what you're saying.
He's all over the R&B charts and he doesn't even sing.
But the thing about that song and it being a musical song is like the instruments of the song, the composition of the song, like the production of the song. It's such a great
song. It's hard for me to listen to Bruno Mars because I just have to get over the fact that
What's shady about that?
It's just hard for me. Like I'm trying to he's a person who is a purveyor of R&B and black music.
Okay.
And it's just everything is just like to the max. And I'm just like,
Do you have a talent that fits into a specific genre?
Why not use it?
I didn't say.
And we appreciate it. Give me more, Bruno.
I'm talking about myself. I'm not saying it was right. It is just hard for me.
You can't come for Bruno Mars.
I mean, what is he doing? He doesn't do anything to anybody.
Have you seen him in concert?
He performed.
I'm not interested.
He has a Beyonce in the male form.
Okay, next topic.
Wait,
I can't do it.
No, but you know what?
And the talent, the show.
No.
What I will say about Bruno Mars, he has been a performer since like the young age. Yes, remember?
As a child.
And he was a what is it called? Triple threat, like a singing, dancing, acting kind of thing.
Right.
And musically inclined. You know what I mean? So.
Play instruments.
Bruno Mars is bad. Like, how?
And even without, take all that away and just listen to his voice, and you're just like, well, shit, this is like,
who gives a fuck what I'm saying? I'm just saying.
We sit here and have a whole podcast with you. We care what you say.
I'm just saying it is hard for me to, like, jump into listening to his stuff because it's something that I just feel like, why is it you and not somebody else?
Because they don't have the voice. They don't have the talent.
There is the talent and the voice is always out there.
Who do you want it to be other than Bruno Mars?
Somebody black?
Well, we're somebody black with a voice.
That's all I'm saying.
I think the only person you can really say.
Why do we have another person out there who ain't black putting out black music? That's all I'm saying.
This is my personal thing. If you have the talent in a specific genre, why not use it?
But you know what?
We like John B. when he came out.
Who did?
Me.
The black community called John B.
Black. Yes, they did.
Child, let me tell you something. My sister loved John B. Don't listen to me. She would fight all the time over that. It is not a we scenario.
So you are in the minority here. Period. Well, that's the bottom line.
I am a minority, so I'm in my right place.
Yeah, so is Bruno Mars.
Well.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. We'll briefly digress, but not really. Because Did You Care hops on board with what Wes just pointed out about why is another black person a non-black person doing R&B music. This brings me to my Did You Care. Have y'all seen the new Aretha series that on National Geographic?
With Cynthia Yupo?
Yes.
Yeah, she has the girl from 702 and Black is in it.
I meant to watch that yesterday.
I was having a conversation in my household about this series, and she is a talented actress. She's apparently British. She also starred in Harriet.
Uh-huh. Yes, they had a bit about her playing Harriet.
They sure did.
Okay.
Because she's British. And
now here's my Did You Care. Did you care that this British actress is now playing a role?
Let me ask you a question.
Because in our conversation, the issue was, you know, this person is taking roles from all of these African-American actors here who are just striving to get seen, and now they're giving these roles away to British African or British actors.
Here's my question to you, Joy.
Go.
Can she sing?
Go. I'm sorry, what?
Oh. Cynthia Yuva, can she sing?
Yes.
Can she?
Yes.
Then what the fuck is the problem? Exactly. She's still a black woman and a dark-skinned black woman.
Exactly.
I was gonna say, being a black person, the roast we already get, period. We're all from, first of all, being black, you know where we all came from. Regardless of where country, continent you want, if a black, black if you black cast black, the right motherfucker in that role, against. It's lit. It's
but
lit.
Hold on, and because he's not going to take the mic, I'm going to speak his point. But what was
he wanted to make sure our American brothers wanted to get a chance.
What he said was, like, it's not fair because all of these African American actors, they've been struggling to get
seen. Maybe they didn't make the cut.
Listen, they've been struggling to get seen and yada yada. And I said, I mean, like,
it's true though.
So, and then I said, well, but what about the British actors? And why do you think that British actors are coming here? You don't think that Hollywood it's kind of reciprocated? And I said, well, what about African Americans going over there?
There's not lit.
You know what I mean? I said, there's a lot of independent films over there. And I guess Hollywood the argument was, correct. You know what I mean? They were able to, and everybody I don't even know if this is, I don't know if there's any truth to this, but you know, it was said they, by taking British actors, you're able to get that talent and pay them less. And I'm just like,
oh shit.
And I said, that's not something that I know to be true. But in terms of black people getting work, like, I have no issue whether it's a British person, whether it's
Caribbean,
a, you know
Nigerian,
what I mean? If they're brown.
You could be black from Ireland. Child, get a role.
I just want to see me on the screen. So I don't care what country you come from. Also, again, it goes back to my comment, like, if you have a talent in a specific genre, why not utilize it? She can act, she can sing, and that's what the
outstandingly
role
and then that song that she released for the Harriet album,
they lit her ass up for Harriet. They were so upset.
I'm just like, so
and she was really, the thing is, it was upsetting. I'm sorry to cut you off, but the thing that was upsetting about it was she was so invested in that role to do that, to do Harriet right, and people just could not get past that.
I saw an interview with her and she was specifically talking about that, and they asked her about the issue or about specifically like playing that role, and she said, you know, in all of the years of film, there's like one movie about Harriet. Like, there could be hundreds. I don't have to be the only one to tell the story. And why is my
there's
version of telling
Aretha
this story
Franklin movies out right now? Right now.
You know that? Why is me telling
Jennifer
the story taken
is,
away from?
Is playing Aretha as well. So, like, you're absolutely right, Joy. She could, yeah. There could be, make another one and put another black actress
I
out
I thought it was
there
so eloquently put, too, that she
and
said it that
all,
way.
Harriet
like,
Tubman has such a long story to tell. There should be like
they
a whole,
only talk about
it should
the
be an 8-10 season you know series that she should have. But you know, I'm not gonna lie, it does question I do that does run across my crazy mind sometimes where I'm like, man, Idris Elba is somebody could get it all day every
he's
day.
He's British.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we were talking about British act black
and
yeah.
He killed The Wire.
Right.
Destroyed
and,
that role.
And
it
so,
was great. It was
so,
great.
I mean, I guess it is a dialogue because like yeah. For me, I never even considered the fact that this
but
British person is taking the place about it. But, like, Chad was like, that's crazy.
Speaking,
like,
yeah, but here's the question. Here's the question before we move on to that. Should we be more concerned about making sure that the only black people in our small community get pull versus the entire diaspora?
Here,
that's the, you know.
US is we should be more concerned about making sure black faces are on the screens, period.
I have another question.
Once we've, like, amassed roles, and it's been years, and we've been recognized as well at the Golden Globes and the Emmys and shit like that, maybe we can start to consider, like, oh, shit, let's put this American in this role. But honestly, I really don't give a shit.
Like, right now, we just all got
to
get there.
I want you to be able to act. If you want to play Aretha,
I okay.
need you to be able to act and sing. That's all I need you to do. And if you can do those things, you can be from
I don't want someone just that looks good
East,
that can't
East
do the other
East
things
Kabum.
Of the character.
He's Kabum.
But
okay, that brings me to another question then.
Oh,
so when you see people in acting roles, because this was another part of our conversation, so there was, and I promise you, I can't remember whether it was it must have been a TV commercial. It was a TV commercial, and the actor on TV, it was something for, like, credit help. And
shocker.
Right.
And they had all black.
right, okay. Okay. So, we were watching this commercial.
There ain't no white people
in credit. I ain't never seen one in the longest time. In fact, okay. Because I've watched on YouTube about credit or black. Sorry.
So, okay, so we're watching this video, right? And this is a perfect example. So, then we have somebody, and okay, Mr. over here, I just want black people to be on screen. I'm like, they're here.
They
like, and he's like, and I'm like, I said, said, so now they can't be on credit commercials? Black people can't be on credit commercials? Like, what the fuck?
It's a check.
That's what I'm saying.
I'll do a credit commercial. We'll do a credit commercial here on Not Our Ancestors. Hey. You know, it's a check.
I feel like this might be the last one, but I feel like you'll get a fucking kick out of this shit. This girl called me one time at work. Okay. Because she and Chad were having a full-on conversation about women and rap. And they were arguing about, what was it? Oh my God. You called? If I'll Venmo you $5. I'll Venmo you $5. Y'all were discussing about if women in rap was, if they were being oversaturated in the market, just being pushed by the industry, but wasn't really showcasing what was actually happening in the actual music industry for rap. Like, the women being pushed forward versus the rap industry actually putting out who's ever really there.
Okay.
So basically, like, I said, when question. She called me, she was like, well, can you, like, you know, three-way in and tell Chad? And I was like, absolutely not. I'm at work. Number two.
I appreciated that you answered that.
I mean, this is funny. Y'all having this regular conversation on the work day. Jealous work from home motherfucker. Number three. My point was, I said, okay, at the end of the day, yes. Megan Thee Stallion, Cardi B, Sweetie, I think, is that the girl, Doja Cat, all these girls are getting pushed to the front. Number one, men like women. That's going to go out there.
Of course.
But at the end of the day, I said was, there are how many male rappers who are putting out music and are making tons of money that may not be on the front cover of Vogue or People magazine or...
Or even Vibe.
Yeah, or Vibe, yeah, whatever. They're still making way more money. Like, Megan Thee Stallion, you can just see it in the sales. Her one song just went gold. Like, you know what I'm saying? You got people like Lil Uzi Vert who put a diamond in front of his head. His shit go platinum just for dropping that shit out of nowhere. Like,
it's trash.
He's shaking his head.
He's saying no. Like,
I mean, it's trash. We always have these conversations because I we're always in the opposition. Like, whatever I think, Chad thinks the opposite. But I agree. There are certain, you know, society.
You changed your position?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, never that.
Bitch, you know who I am.
My name is Joy. But no, there is an overcompensation whenever anything happens. You know what I mean? Like, okay, women were ignored for so long, so now we got to, like, celebrate them. Great, I'm here for it. You know what I mean? Minorities were, you know, ignored for so long. Now we got to celebrate them. Now we're making these films. Okay, great, I'm here for it. There's always overcompensation for shit. Like, you know what I mean? That's just how the world ebbs and flows.
Speaking of which, staying on this topic, but probably being hopefully the last topic we discuss.
It will not.
Probably not. But, so, like, you're talking about, like, women being, like, missing from the industry for so long. But someone like Nicki Minaj, who's been constant in the industry for the last decade.
Who?
Nicki Minaj.
I'm joking.
Rude.
Does not have a Grammy at all. So,
but does she need one?
That's not the point.
I'm just saying.
The point is to recognize people and give them their flowers while they're here. But honestly.
But are we giving them the flowers? You know what I'm saying? Like, what's a Grammy mean to somebody who's a damn good lyricist?
Hold on. But to be clear, Grammy comes with shit. A Grammy is equity, right? It's not
checks.
Just...
It's additional checks.
Britney Spears ain't got one either.
It's equity. Like, when you have a Grammy, your stock rises, right?
And so, of all people, Joe Budden was the one who said we need to give Nicki her fucking Grammys. Joe Budden, of all people.
Yeah. But you know who gets people Grammys? Their peers.
I mean...
Look, so that ain't our problem.
No, it is a problem. It is our problem because it's like, look, I honestly, personally think that Nicki Minaj, at some point in the fucking decade that she...
How has she not gotten a Grammy? How has she not gotten a Grammy yet?
Right. And when she gets mad and she goes off on, on her radio channel, she's correct. There's no reason. And then you look at the other people who are receiving Grammys, no shade to Cardi B, but how you got Grammys and Nicki Minaj don't?
That was them correcting a wrong.
Right, it was an overcompensation.
No, like, no, right, no shade. But, no shade.
But no,
they
like,
gave Grammy.
Give it to Nicki Minaj.
They gave Cardi a Grammy to correct them not giving Nicki.
Cardi has more than one.
But you said, but like, you see
how I'm saying? Grammys,
snatched three.
But
she just snatched. Right, and I love Megan Thee Stallion.
You see how I said giving?
Also, like, it's Meg not got her, a Grammy, you know? Off of a song she did with Beyonce.
Right.
Fucking Nicki Minaj's song with Beyonce was lit. Should have got a Grammy. She doesn't have one, though. Like, it just doesn't make sense. It's, like, overcompensating great, but it's not like she's dead and not here. She's alive. Give her a fucking Grammy. Why not?
Or, why not? So, maybe... Yeah, how about this? You know... Okay, so when Nicki came out, right, they were not having no more female rappers but one. And music industry executives had said on record that a female rapper costs too much money for them to produce, and a lot of record execs didn't even want to put that out. Wayne and them did that because they believed in her talent.
And they were right.
And they were right. So, maybe after a while, these conversations of a female rapper dominating the game for so long, here comes Cardi, who, of course, once again, the industry pits the two people against each other. They're like, we gotta correct this. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I hear what you're saying, Wes, but the problem is, it's not like Nicki Minaj doesn't exist. She's still there, and she's continuously putting out music. So it's like, you can't say we're right or wrong by giving the other bitch a Grammy and not giving the one who put in the work already a Grammy.
I mean, her latest thing that I saw was Tekashi 6ix9ine. I don't think that was Grammy worthy.
No, that doesn't matter.
But go through her discography and tell me she don't have at least four
she definitely she's deserving of a Grammy. I think what happens is artists get jaded. Like, you see who else was recently The Weeknd just had an issue about it.
I ain't got time for either one of them, to be honest. That's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, but
because some bullshit.
They've kind of put in work, but Nicki Minaj literally since 2007 she's almost two decades in the game.
She's solidified
and
her work.
She's out rapped men on albums.
Oh yeah.
That's her job. That's what she does. She just can't let her out rap you. That's what happens.
Like other high rap artists, she has killed them on their track, and still
she's good shit.
We don't reckon. And as much as she gets on my nerves, and Nicki Minaj gets on my last fucking nerves, girl, calm down. I need you to stop.
Also, you deserve.
Here you go.
Her husband is a pedophile.
It's on record.
I'm not about to defend that man.
I didn't do this.
I don't even know why I jumped out there like that. I'm not about to defend that man.
I'm called pedophile.
That's what we do. He cannot leave certain states without calling people. Like,
and that's a black man.
We're going to go ahead and wrap this segment up.
Are we going to wrap?
Yeah, because we got
Do we have anything else to be cared about this week? Was there anything else shocking that happened this week?
We have a big discussion to discuss next.
I just wanted to let Anita Baker get her master's.
You know what? I'm so glad.
See that.
So I guess that needs to be our last. Did you care? How about that Anita Baker shit?
Look, stop. She wants everybody to stop downloading and streaming her music.
Well, here's the real question: why does the music industry keep taking money off of black talent by not giving them a proceeds of their own artistry and creativity, by not allowing them to get their masters?
Anita Baker,
that's been an ongoing, long-running story
of music and work. And it's like, all right, you've made money off of her for decades.
Let this
60-something-year-old woman get her just dessert the last portion of her life. Like,
and for those of you who
she wants to buy the fucking masters. It's not like, just give them to me.
And those of you who don't understand, you can go look up Taylor Swift. Okay, you know, I bring you a white person so y'all can get it.
Taylor Swift is going hard as fuck
against Scooter Braun for selling her masters to somebody because now she has no way of creating or getting and generating any income off of music that she has created. It's given the longevity for who Taylor Swift is today. She had to go through and the legal system allow her to redo her music. I ain't never heard some shit like this before. Before black people, they just had to just take it. They just took it.
What's her name? JoJo did it.
Did she? Oh, okay. So it's just another white person.
She had to go re-record and release her shit again a second time.
I mean, and Snoop Dogg actually had to get bought out of his contract from Death Row to get his masters. And Master P was the one that did that. Do you know how much money that was? It was millions of dollars.
There's no reason why after... I get if you were the one who originally owned these masters. Like, it was your money that got the studio time, the distribution, all of that. But it's been four fucking decades. Like, all right, you've made enough money off this woman. I literally, at least in the last 2 weeks, I've scrolled through my my iTunes. And I seen, like, Anita. I was like,
well,
I'm
see.
Because I don't want to be the one.
No. I bought. Do you buy it? Once you buy it, right? I can still listen to it because
I
bought it.
I'm not going to buy it now.
Yeah, she told us not to.
And I'm not going to stream it either.
Right, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
It just,
but if you have a CD or a vinyl,
please,
play that.
Hook me up.
Play it. So Anita yeah. Baker,
okay.
we gonna
I have like one of I have like four albums like actually downloaded that I purchased like on my phone.
I wish I would have had already.
It's one of them is Anita Baker.
But the second she gets her masters, I'll just buy the shit.
Yeah. So Anita Baker, we gonna try to uplift you, and hold you down. We gonna wrap this DYC up for Did You Care? We're gonna come back with some politics.
Politics.
Yes. All right. Let's talk about something serious.
So, all right, I have a question, but I need to start off by like just running down how I feel and what I think, and then I'm gonna ask the question, and we can have a discussion.
Because everyone's not able.
Everybody ain't able, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. So we always talk about criminal justice reform on this show because it's extremely important, right?
Yes.
But I have a question that I really want an honest, like, conversation about and discussion about. The biggest part for me is the phrase or the word Uncle Tom. That, like, irks my nerves because...
As it should.
The last 5 years that I've been in law enforcement, I've been called Uncle Tom more than my own name. Like, it's ridiculous. And so, like, black officers, prosecutors, attorney generals, whatever... any black person in law enforcement, male or female, tends to be called an Uncle Tom at some point in their career. And I think the frustration for me is the fact that, like, I'm getting called Uncle Tom because I'm doing my job. And usually it's, well, you're arresting black and brown people, and you're black and brown yourself. And it's like, well, black and brown people commit crimes just like any other race. So it's not like I'm exclusively only arresting black and brown people, but in the community that I live in, the community that I work in, it tends to be more people of color.
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, what does our community expect us to do when it comes to arresting and prosecuting people of color? Like, why am I considered an Uncle Tom? Because I'm doing my job. Like, I literally, this is my job. I decided to go into law enforcement. A lot of people like to say, you know, well, you could pick another career field, but I picked this one, and this is the one I'm in. So I'm not in the position at 37 years old to switch careers just because you feel like I'm coming for our community. So, like, what is a black man or woman in law enforcement supposed to do when we're just asked to do our job? Like, what do we do
here? You want to go first? Or?
Well, I think first of all, to address that, I can understand it seeming, or I can't even say it seeming like, for you, your experience, I can get that your experience has been predominantly being called an Uncle Tom, predominantly negative.
Uncle Tamisha.
In that aspect. But I also think, you know, the audience, you have to kind of keep in mind your audience. And for example, when it comes to something like that, where an individual sees a African American or a brown person in a position of authority, and they're policing an area, they're doing their, you know, their due diligence, their service, you know, there are going to be clowns who look at that and simply see a person functioning in that capacity and making the assumption that this person is Uncle Tom, they're playing for the other side. But then I think more often than not, the majority of people recognize, and when I say people, I'm just going to say educated people, because like you said, everybody ain't able.
True.
But when it comes to educated people and people with common sense, I don't think I think that dialogue is shifting. Like, I think that more educated people are encouraged and inspired by seeing people of color in law enforcement. And if that's not the case, you know what I mean? If that's just like my interpretation of it and that's only what I'm seeing, then I feel fortunate. But on the whole, I would hope that that's the direction that we're going. And, you know, I remember, you know, obviously when we were younger growing up, there was a whole idea around not talking to the police, like no snitching. And there was that whole no snitch culture, you know, but as time has progressed,
certain things need to be told.
Things have shifted. Yeah. I think it's also unfortunate that, you know, where we are with social media, I'm sorry, where we are with social justice right now, it's such a volatile issue. So everybody is under the microscope, be it a black officer or a white officer, like you guys are all being highly critiqued. So, you know, it's unfortunate that there's still those offshoots of the community that sees a person in a uniform of color and considers them to be an Uncle Tom. But honestly, I feel like on the whole, you know, people who have understanding recognize that having people in positions of power who look like you, they see that as an asset and they understand that it's an asset.
Well, before you respond, Wes, so I understand everything you said and I agree with most of everything. The frustration that I have, though, spawns from, like, political campaigns. So we're going to use Vice President Harris as an example. She was a
queen, we all say.
Right, right. A queen. She was the district attorney in San Francisco, so a prosecutor. And she also was the attorney general for California, a prosecutor. And, like, we as a community, there was a huge group of us supporting her and like standing for her and like wanting the Biden campaign to be successful because we could have this black woman as our first vice president. But there is also the other side of our community who lost their fucking minds because
I was a part of that community.
They were like, she
understood that. Understood.
She prosecuted black people and like she put black people in jail. And that's where my question comes from because it's like, what was she supposed to do? Her job was to prosecute people, and she initiated a lot of different programs to help curb the amount of people arrested for minor drug infractions, to get people out of jail, black people, people of color out of jail, sooner than what was normal for California. Like, she instituted a lot of different programs to help the community. But also, it's her job to prosecute these people as a district attorney or as attorney general. That's just the nature of her job. So, like, why is it that, like...
Okay, so what I'm noticing is, and it may be... I don't know if it comes from a maturity level or if it's just because I just feel to be invested in where my life is going and me being invested in my people... We're having a lot of discussions that are basically boldly out in people's faces. Like, if we're going to talk about sexual harassment, we're going to talk about Black Lives Matter, we're going to talk about transgender issues and LGBT issues, it's like you have to hit the shit on the nail and, like, have that conversation. And I agree what you were saying. Like, I think that we are really coming to a space now where it's like you can't sit here and think that Black people don't exist in our legal system that... have to prosecute or have to be police officers or have to be lawyers. I mean,
we want those.
Yeah, but you know, let's talk about the beginning, you know. Let's talk about when a person who is black who's running for a prosecutor position, you have this whole momentum like, yes, this is change. Then like what Chad was saying before, like with Barack Obama, it's like you can't have a black person there and just think that you're just not going to be like, "Oh, you're black, I'm just going to let you
and
slide."
I'm only going to focus on black
people.
Issues. I can't do that.
Black people commit crimes, but I think where the difference is, and I think what people are failing to recognize is somebody like yourself and Vice President Harris and Barack Obama and those people, yeah, we can all learn a lot of things, but at the end of the day, they know what it is to be a black person in America. So when you have that leverage to make a decision for your job in law enforcement, you can then, as a black person, look at what the evidence is in front of you. You know, if you're not Daniel,
Trash.
Yeah, whatever the fuck his name, yeah. But, you know, I think there is something that says that I, as a black person, you're like, this is not a standard situation that a white person would just go and be like, I'm going to throw the book at you. But then a white person comes in, they don't throw the book as hard as at that person. Yeah, and I agree with you. It's like, I don't think it's fair. You should not be called an Uncle Tom. But I also think that there is this big I'm just gonna, the police department has a really bad marketing problem. You know what I'm saying? And there are black police officers and black attorney generals and black prosecutors who are complete and utter trash.
They are actually and, Uncle Tom's. I will call them flat out.
And it is not hard for other black people to we all get why they question it. And I look, every time something happens, I text you because I get concerned. I want to make sure that I'm in your corner. I mean, that there's somebody in your corner for you, that someone's caring about you. And I get worried because you have more of a weight than I think most people would never even consider about on your plate. Like, you have the fact that you are a black man wearing a uniform, and you have to then deal with the community. You have to deal with people calling you Uncle Tamisha's. You got the, you know, you have all these things going on. And at the same time, you have to deal with the other, your counterparts and your peers who are not black, and you still have to do your job.
Yes, so I do. I play dual roles. I play a lot of, more than dual. I play a lot of different roles, and I got to answer a lot of different questions to a lot of different people. I don't mind that.
It's the same as Vice President Harris and Barack Obama and all those other people.
I just really wish that, like, we can have, beyond us and not our ancestors, have a broader discussion when it comes to when, say, in 10 years, I decide I want to run for Pennsylvania State Senate.
Right.
Or, you know, the U.S. Senate. And I've been in law enforcement for the last 15, 20 years, and now they're like, oh, you're just the uncle.
They held it against you.
So it just makes it that much more difficult for someone who actually cares about my community and those people to get in positions of additional power to make a difference. You know what I mean? Like, you have this group of the community coming hard.
Oh, yeah, they're not going to stop.
It's just a couple comments. It's literally a constant barrage of comments and questions.
Right.
Like, even the media is asking... would ask, you know, Vice President Harris, like, well, you put a lot of black people in. Why should they support you? What the fuck? Why shouldn't they support me? Like,
but it's, okay for a white person to do the same goddamn thing, and it's not questioned.
I think also a lot of what you were saying, you know what I mean? Like, when is it okay for me as a black officer to just do my job without criticism? And I think
should be criticism. Like, we should pay attention.
You know, without excessive or overly zealous or unwarranted undeserved criticism.
Just your ridiculous, it's biased fucking attention. Like, it is fucked up. It
boils down to accountability. And when I say accountability, I mean, like, that's like a big, broad term. Accountability means, so when you have that community and the attitude is still... fuck the police, like, we ain't snitching, and you have that community, and that's still the energy around how that community feels about the police, the relationship with the community and the police. So you can't then say to someone in that community, like, you need to understand that this person is here to help you, right? Because you got to start at the root of the issue. You have to rebuild the relationship. So you have to be accountable for the fact. And unfortunately, you know, it seems as if the burden unduly falls on the shoulders of those in positions of power of law enforcement.
It always does.
Because, you know, again, quote unquote, that's what you signed up for.
Correct.
But I think it's an accountability issue, because when we all understand that people functioning in different areas of the world that we're going to come into contact with, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter who you are. At some point, you're going to make a contact with a police officer. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? White, black, brown, young, old. Like, it's just
it's going to happen. Yeah.
So you have to, and we have to, as a community, work on, and this is just my opinion about how this attitude and this can shift, like, work on acknowledging the things, and I feel like we're already starting to do that, acknowledging the things that have built up the attitudes that developed in these communities, and then
we gotta
address
build it.
Them,
so,
and then explain to our people, right? Because it's not just let the police understand that you have to work with us.
We
also then
with
have
them.
To explain to all of our, you know, younger people, this whole fuck the police mentality not a thing. Or, I mean, if that is your thing, you know what I mean, promote that. I would not suggest, we have to, like, explain it to the younger people.
Correct.
Because if you don't, you know,
so yeah. I don't mind being, it's beyond not minding. I want to be held accountable. Like, cause I am a black man in law enforcement with, you know, this position of power, I guess. I mean, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to wield that power. respectfully and in a correct manner where I'm not hurting my community, but also I have to do my job.
Right.
You know what I mean? And there's a certain level of discretion in charging as well. Like we've talked about before on this podcast where, you know, there are officers out there that will overcharge just because they want to get a conviction. So they'll overcharge in order for the defendant to plead to a lesser charge.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how I operate. I charge you on what I'm supposed to charge you on. This is the crime you committed. I'm charging you for that crime. I'm not going to add 10 different charges just so I can ensure that you plead to a lesser charge. No, I'm not. I'm looking for your day in court is essentially how I operate. I'm going to charge you on what you deserve to be charged on, and then I'm going to give you your day in court. Like, if you have an attorney who can destroy my case enough to where you get off, fine. It's probably not going to happen because I do my due diligence, but the bottom line is...
But then that's also the criminal justice system working. But, that's how it's supposed to work.
That's how
it's
but wait a minute. But what okay, I was but so. What I was gonna say is I think you just said something very important. How the police and the Black community have a really bad relationship,
history,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And there are times if you go back and look at history, there are times when a Black person got in the police force, it was a win.
You were, and it wasn't a win.
It was, you know right. What I mean? And the thing is, and it was when the racism and shit was really bad, where they didn't care anything about it.
Then, though, also, not to interrupt, but like, there was a time where it was a win for the Black community.
Right.
But it was also a loss for that officer because he was in a department of racist right. people.
But,
and he was suffering
but what I'm,
in his yeah. job. And he was trying to protect his community. Like,
the thing is that we don't know anything until we have somebody on the inside who can give us the insight. And you just sat there and told us, like, yes. I'm a part of this legal thing, right? I take my job responsibly, and these are the conditions of which I work under, and these are the conditions of which I could make things happen. And you just right. specifically said, this is what I've seen other people do. That seems crazy. I'm just going to sit here and know, logically, knowing what I could do and what I'm going to do is I'm not going to go above and beyond just to get somebody in fucking jail when they don't deserve it for whatever crimes are committed right, to like, that. Right. You're literally giving us an insight. And I feel like that relationship is something, what you're telling us now,
if
is something
the community knew that. They were like, oh, you know
what? Oh, that sounds right,
so
you know?
I completely yeah. agree with you, but also you got to look at it like, I've read All Out Battles when Vice President Harris was running for vice president. Like,
people don't even know how to spell the word prosecutor. People don't even know what a prosecutor does.
She was an attorney general and she prosecuted and put Black people in jail. The people who were arguing on the opposite side, though, were... Like, it was going back and forth. It was like,
and
people
the thing
were
about it is, look at how
like,
lost
what she was doing. You
and
know what I mean?
About that whole argument, like, look at how lost the conversation got.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're mad at her because she prosecuted all these Black people. Okay, well, let's talk about the system that allows
her
prosecution
yes.
to exist in a way that it
who put
so
those laws in
affects Black people,
step,
right?
Let's
and then let's take it even
that.
Further.
Yes, our community itself. Like, these people, not saying that they are immediately guilty, but they I'm going to just throw a random statistic out there. It's off the top of my head. I'm going to say 85% of the people of color who have been arrested committed a crime. You committed a crime. So, like, we have to do something in ourselves and...
To stop committing...
To prevent them from even
doing the crime.
Let's stop... Let's nip it at the bud at our level.
But you know what? That's what we're trying to do. This is the reason for this podcast. Like, one thing that we do know... And I'm going to talk about people who have some type of education. I don't mean having a degree or something. If somebody who cares about the community and understands Black people and the Black community's concerns, there is a thing that happens to us in society that will make us do things because nobody gives a shit about us. And that is why mm-hmm. people commit a lot of crimes. Uh-huh. That does not make it right. It doesn't make it
that we shouldn't be prosecuted.
Exactly.
People, they still commit
but like you said, if you give us a fair chance at education, you give us a fair chance at housing, you give us a fair chance to make money, you do this type of things, we won't have to
so
be committing
those
crimes.
Those are the government sides
yeah.
that the government needs
but
to
you know what?
On.
We can't
but
always
as parents,
we can't always blame the government. we always, we also have to raise our own to recognize that, yes, there's a system against you, but there are people before us that had it way worse, and they were able to be good citizens.
I grew up on a street where I literally am the only person, male or female, who can honestly say they've had some success in life. If I go back and look at all these people, they're either in jail, addicted to drugs, an option, or like has like 8 kids by multiple different people, not to say whatever, but like you're struggling because you decided to have all these damn kids when you should have just had one or two.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's like, it's because of the environment that I grew up in, which, and I explain this to my supervisor all the time, because he tries to use me as an example. Like, well,
shocker.
Dante, you made shocker. It. Why can't they do it? And right. I'm privileged. I literally, as a dark-skinned black man, literally say, I was privileged to have the people in my life to make sure that I did not go down those paths. Everybody doesn't have that. That's the problem.
We know this.
Right. So like, if we can fix that issue, and, oh, by the way, the government should be fucking helping as well. If we can get those two things on the same page, crime in the black community will be less. Prosecutions for black and brown people will be less. Like, there's ways
it's
curb
a number
this.
Thing. It's numbers. It's common sense. It's proactivity. It's, you know what I mean, implementation of programs that kind of, you know, would curb that. I was watching, I feel like this was in a group thing that we had recently. It was an interview, or maybe my brother sent it to us in a group. It was a Roland Martin interview where he had called out somebody. Yo, listen.
Child.
He gets on my.
Him and Sean King gets on my nerves too. But there are certain things that they are right on. Like, yeah.
But in this instance, okay, so Roland Martin essentially like called this guy out about, you know, saying that as black people, we need to be self-serving. Or I can't remember if he said self-serving.
Oh, I hope he didn't say that.
Self-accountable or something like that. And of course, you know, Roland Martin's whole opinion was like, that was an idiotic statement to say. And this young man, and I wish I would have like thought about this before we recorded, but this young man, he explained, he said, you know, when I'm talking about accountability for my community and like us not depending on people anymore, I'm saying me and my homies decided that all these kids we're seeing in these schools, they can't read, they can't write. This shit is ridiculous. So what I'm going to do now is then going to enter into the foster care system. So I'm going to adopt these children out of the system.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to then take them into my house. I'm going to care for them. I'm going to educate them. And then I'm going to raise some more money with my homies. And I'm going to open up an independent school. So now these black people don't, these black children don't even have to go to the public school that's not educating them. And that whole dialogue and that whole, you know what I mean, that endeavor that he took on was amazing, right?
Correct.
And I feel like that's a lot of what the work that we need to do when it comes to stomping out the ignorance. You know what I mean? Somebody calling a police officer and Uncle Tom's
ain't helping shit.
They're black in 2021 is just the equivalent of calling a Muslim a terrorist.
And you also
it's
don't
so
right.
silly
you
that
right.
it doesn't even make sense. So
but you don't know me either.
Right.
Like, you see me in a uniform and a black man and you call me Uncle Tom. You don't
it's
know me.
So
you don't
silly.
Know how I operate in my job.
And I feel like what we're doing now, too, because we have that cancel culture, because everything is
let's be clear,
media.
We never started the cancel
driven.
Culture. Let's just start that very... Yeah,
it exists.
We did
it.
Yeah,
is,
it existed.
It
before. Yeah.
Because some things need canceled.
Some things need canceled. Ignorance, for example, needs
canceled.
So, you know what I mean? Like, I love the fact that you kind of, like, called that out. Because as much as we're talking about, you know, look at all of the ways that police and how it impacts, like, the negative impacts it has on the community. And
which
we really don't have... Which is, right, we're
absolutely.
Not going to discount
I'll
that.
Never discount
but
that.
We often don't talk about that other side of the coin. And it's awesome that you kind of, like, highlighted that. And what that really kind of does is just, you know, shows us here is another... Here's more work that needs to be done. Like,
but
you can't... We can't allow that sort of ignorance to prevail because it just further... prohibits our growth as a community. So as
it
long as you got
problem.
A whole
at
bunch
all.
Of brown
at
kids
all.
Looking at the police as, you know, as the enemy, what? Because the police aren't going anywhere. You can do hashtag defund them as much as you want. Like, right. The police are here to stay, right? And as long as the culture is still...
black people call the police as well for assistance. Listen. So, like, you want the police
You want them when you have your baby's daddy come over for the 15th time when he whooped your ass 3 times before come over to your house, they gonna come... It's the truth. Yeah, it's the fucking truth.
Because he's black and I'm black. So it's like,
but I think it goes right.
For example,
when you talk about black people saying they commit crimes, right? We all know a black person that committed a crime, right? Be in jail for 8-10 years, and all of a sudden it's like free so and so on a t-shirt. Why?
Why are we freeing them?
Why are we doing this? They committed a fucking crime.
You know what? Like, if there is anything that I hate the most, it's the fucking hashtag free.
And then, like,
he was convicted.
And then, specifically, and something for me, especially when you see it's the person that you actually know.
But what about Tyrone? We free him?
Right, but wait a minute.
This is what I'm taking away from it. It's not hashtag free so-and-so. It's, and the idea behind it is like, hashtag this system is corrupt. Like, that's what it is.
I get that, at the end of the day
you can't be celebrating nigger shit just doing
right. But the end of the day is everybody knows as a baby when you come out, you have that conversation, regardless of how fucked up the conversation may be had, because you don't know what kind of parent they were when they had you or what age they were when they had you. They have some type of conversation with, but it always goes to, you don't want to go to jail. That is not where you're supposed, regardless of how it's told to you, you don't want to go to jail. But then you don't do your due diligence as a parent to take care of this kid. And sure. I'm not going to sit here and talk about there's not societal things that put you in boundaries that ends up having your children doing things because you cannot be around them 24/7. I understand that. But you chose to lay down with somebody and have a kid. You have to then have a community around you to raise this fucking kid so we don't have people committing crimes where we're putting ourselves in jail where they're making money off of us. Like, this is what it is.
So on top of all that, I agree with you. Everything you said. 100%. But on top of all that, you have, like, because I work currently in a jail, and, like, you have petitions and things that, like, people want to put on the ballot to stop certain things from being used in jail. So there's a thing called a restraint chair that is used in jail. So when an inmate...
Well, that sounds sexy.
It's not for the dungeon. It's for jail.
Oh my god.
So, like,
if you're using the right purpose, child, it might be good.
Well, we're in jail. Okay. It won't be used for the right purpose.
Well, some people like jail. There's jail porn. But
they want to stop the use of restraint chairs in the jail because it's inhumane or whatever else. But this inmate has went the fuck crazy, has beat the shit out of several COs.
He needs inmates. I feel you.
And he's spitting at people. Like, it's a process to even call for the chair, let alone put them in it. And then, like, a lot of people, the public thinks, oh, well, you know, they get put in these restraint chairs and they're left there for 8 hours at a time. But that's not true. It's literally monitored on a 10-minute rotation. Like, there's no long periods of time where they're strapped into this chair and can't do anything. But, like, there's times where I've walked past and seen, like, inmates, like, trying to break out of the chair. It's like, obviously, he needs to be in this fucking chair. And if you take that tool away from corrections officers, you put their lives in jeopardy. But all you're hearing is information from inmates. You're hearing information from previous inmates who are out of jail now who are upset about being placed in a restraint chair. Like, but the people who are advocating to remove this, you're not in the facility to see it being used and how it's used. So, like, you're trying to take a tool away that is literally used to prevent the inmate from getting harmed and anybody else.
This makes me think of, like, what I think is one of the issues with how much exposure we have to everything. Mm-hmm. While I feel like, you know, having transparency is really good. Essential in a lot of things.
But it can be
bad.
What I mean?
It can also be a problem in, you know, in situations like that when the public is weighing in on an issue that only people in law enforcement would understand. It can be problematic.
Yeah, but here's the problem, Joy. we as law people in law enforcement aren't explaining to the public well enough what these tools are used for.
Okay, but like, here's my question. That doesn't necessarily need to be
that's what I'm saying. Your job. Why would you? Why should you? Yeah, well, you know, like...
Because when it comes up, as so you're going to have either a current inmate or a former inmate talk about, oh, this was used on me and it's wrong. And we should
Okay, but then it's like, okay? Why? Why was it used on you? What did you do?
That's besides the point right now. It's a good question, but it's besides the point right now. The fact remains is they're telling their story about how they were treated, and they're making it sound even more inhumane than it actually is. So on our side, it's kind of like
You're feeling like you have to defend, to point, because if you don't,
the public is only getting that one side, and they're going to lean more towards, oh, okay, we got to get rid of this.
Well, then y'all need some better PR.
Correct.
Well, their PR has been terrible.
Like, y'all need some people, because once And this is my naivete coming in. I always assume
I ain't never been in jail, so I don't know shit about it.
Information.
I ain't trying to do it.
To make an informed and a responsible decision, people is again my naivete coming into play. I just like to believe that people will draw sensible conclusions.
They won't.
And
they won't.
But I don't. They won't. So hard. Because people scoot things that make it fit their perspective anyway. So their son, you know, specifically black mothers, they don't play about their boys, you know what I mean? So their son was in jail and they were treated this way, and now they have this whole campaign going on now because their son was treated this way. Girl, you didn't know that your son was in here doing drugs. You didn't know he was high as shit when he had to be restrained. You weren't here for any of that.
Yeah.
But now, like, you're loud and wrong, and now, like, there's the potential of a whole asset that is necessary to be taken away, and now it puts
puts y'all in danger.
In danger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it literally doesn't make sense, and we have to do a better job of informing the public. Like, these are the reasons these things are used. It's so opaque and so, like, hidden. Like, we can't tell the public about what we know.
Well, there's a lot of things that have to happen. So number one is, prison systems need to not fucking be for profit. That's number one. Let's just start there.
It's not. So
I mean, but a lot of them are, and we've seen where they've just put people in there to make money.
Right.
So there's a lot of, like you said, better PR. There's a lot of shit that has to happen, and on top of it, we still have to inform ourselves as to raising ourselves better in a better community. Yeah. There's a lot of things that have to do, and like I said, the fact that we're able to have this conversation is because we have Barack Obama as a president, because we have Vice President Harris as a vice president, and because we have people like you in law enforcement who are there taking the heat. Y'all are taking it. Honestly, somebody always has to take the heat. Like, when people walked, when they did Selma, they took the heat. You know, you had Harriet Tubman. She took the heat. Somebody has to do it in order for us to advance. It brings us these conversations.
I chose this field. I absolutely chose to go into this field. I actually enjoy it, and there's always going to be a certain amount of heat for me specifically. Maybe the next generation will be a little easier for them.
That's the goal, right?
Exactly, make it a little bit easier for them, but they keep making it very difficult.
Law enforcement needed reform long before I decided to become a police officer, but I still decided to become one. And the thing is, like, I'm doing my best to do my job, do it well, and also be respectful and understanding to our community and the blight that we experience.
But they don't. Yeah, they don't know that.
You know what I mean? Like, I literally stand on this front line, not to say that, like, these guys standing next to me are more important than my community, but it's my job. Like, I don't have a choice. Like, I have to do this. I have to take care of me and my family. And
the same people calling you out and calling you up
ain't doing shit. Yeah,
are the same people who work. I was about to say the same people who run out and commit crimes and not get arrested. You know what I mean? They're the same people that get mad when creditors call them about a bill that's due.
Why are we back on credit?
It's funny, and I was just talking to my mom about credit.
Oh my god!
But listen, but hear what I'm saying. The same people that are upset at you doing your job about something that is inconvenient to them are the same people that are mad when creditors call. No, you're mad because you missed the bill.
The people, yes,
you're mad because right. I'm having to address you. You're so it's accountability.
Right.
And
the people
who are calling
me Uncle Tom are the ones that have committed crimes and got arrested.
Or about to commit one.
Upset about it. Or want to continue committing their crime. Not about to, but are currently committing
and
a crime.
And it's accountability.
And don't want to stop.
What the fuck?
And it's like me being there. It's like, dude, you know our community. You was raised in the hood, too. I don't understand why now you want to arrest me and put me in jail. Bitch,
because
you're fucking committing
crimes. Because, listen,
you're a danger.
You're a fucking danger. Everybody else that looks like us.
Bitch, I saw you do this. Like,
but also, you're an Uncle Tom, right? You're an Uncle Tom at 5 o'clock, but at 6 o'clock, if you work it out, then I can't nail you my man.
Right, now you my nigga. We good.
So, I mean, I feel like I'm not apologizing for, like, their ignorance because, I want the conversation to shift. I want it to be, and this just needs to happen in general for us to feel like, for us to make any progress. And the progress that we're making is already so slow as it is. Like, we can't afford to be putting down the brown people that we do have in those positions.
Because we need more.
And
regardless
of black women.
I'm not going to say regardless of what they did to get there. But if what they did to get there was, you know what I mean, maybe it didn't necessarily line up with your morals, but hopefully brought in your understanding of their position, brought in your understanding of what that role entailed, right? Yeah. And then maybe your fight isn't with them. Maybe your fight is with this system.
Their fight is
maybe,
not with me.
You know, and celebrate the fact that you have an ally on that side.
I can't talk for every black officer out there because we all have trash people in every race. There are trash people. There are trash black officers out there. Yes. But
I know. I ran into a bunch of them.
I ran into a bunch of them.
The whiter officers have been nicer to me than some of the black ones.
Ain't that the truth?
It is the truth. I don't know. Because they're in a position of power. They probably didn't have it when they were younger. And they're just like, oh, you're making me look bad by out here acting fool. Or what I consider is acting a fool.
Bitch, so check my credentials. Read my resume.
I don't have a profile. It frustrates me because, like, I feel like there are people out there who don't want me to do my job because
you're
look-alike.
They want you to give them a pass. Like,
our complexions and our families all look alike. So, because I'm in this position, I should be, like, letting you go. That's not how this works, dude.
Exactly.
I need for you to understand to not fucking commit crimes. And then I won't have a reason to arrest you. And then we could be cool.
But we also have to make sure the white folks make sure they get their white people in the fucking jail when they do commit crimes because they do let them hoes go.
I've
heard some crazy ass shit, and I'm like, that don't make sense to me.
My department does a very good job of arresting and.
I'll send them some chocolate cupcakes with some chocolate frosting.
Everybody that needs to be arrested, regardless of race,
it's gonna be black.
But I can't say the same for some of the outlying departments that don't utilize us because they have enough officers in their department and they handle their own crimes. So, like, 16-year-old Johnny will go out here and do some fuck shit. And, you know, the chief of police knows his mama. So it's kind of like, all right, just come and pick him up. You know, like,
that
doesn't happen in our community.
At all, because we ain't the chief of police.
But even if we were, like, it's still, we do our job. That's the fucked up part. We do our job, and then the guy in one of the outlying community police departments protect their people. And that's why we look like Uncle Toms. It's like, because they're out here protecting us, and we're
trying
not
to tell you,
ours.
The people,
like,
calling you the Uncle Tom.
Like, they the Uncle Toms.
No, it's just simple and plain foolish ignorance.
Yeah, I'm mad. I'm just
going to
call them
more educated. Because no.
It don't matter. Education don't mean shit.
Right. You can still be ignorant.
I don't
want to
say certain people's names on this podcast, but they educate and they still dumb as shit. They look like pickaninnies tap dancing on a picnic table, eating watermelon slices.
Well, I hope you could turn and see this middle finger, this educated person. But right. But I feel like at the end of the day, it's just so. It's as.
And yes, pickaninny is a thing. Look it up.
It's as crazy to me as when I hear people, you know, make those comments, like I said earlier, like, oh, you know, this Muslim, because you're dressed differently, you're a terrorist. Yeah. It's straight up ignorance. And unfortunately, I will also, you know, I will end on this, maybe not the lightest note, but I feel like
oh, no.
b- because as Black people, we have been given the short end of the stick for so long. And historically, like, the short end, not only have we been given the short end of the stick, but...
We had to make the short end of the stick.
We had to make the stick ourselves. Like, it just fucked all around.
All that shit.
All around, holistically, we have...
We had to make the joke of why it's even called the short end of the stick.
Exactly. Collectively, fuck, we have just been fucked for so long. So, there's... It's gonna be some turn time. It's gonna be a delay. You know what I mean?
I get
it's going to be...
A
little bit of a healing and a growth process. But what I don't agree with, and I feel like is the point of this podcast, is we need to call out ignorance ourselves. Every time, you know what I mean, somebody is making an ignorant comment about like the Uncle Tom type shit, we need to call out our own Black ignorance. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
And we're so sensitive if somebody else, you know, God forbid anybody says anything about the Black community, we get so, so upset. But, like, why don't we start calling our fucking selves out for some shit, and then maybe we'll see some different
because
type of change.
Because then that'll lead to us coming together as well.
And
that's
all
how
of
we
that
reach.
Is just
And let's
awful,
just be
right?
very clear. This is not a new thing of calling each other out. If you go back and research Sojourner Truth, Marcus Garvey, and Frederick Douglass, Shade and Reeves were throwing back and forth amongst them all day. So this is a thing that we already did. Our ancestors were already like, I don't agree with what the fuck you're doing. You're fucking like aligning yourselves with this other side of people. This is not going to work. But the conversation still needs to be had. And because they had those conversations is where we are today.
Mm-hmm. Shit, call ourselves out. It's the man in the mirror, like Michael said, right?
No? Yeah, and I think about that shit all the time. Like when I do my job, I literally think about what I'm doing, specifically when it comes to the positive or negative effects to our community. Like, I don't want to be called out years from now, like, oh, you did this specifically to our community. No, I did my job. Like, and that will be my response. I did my job. Like, I stayed within the confines of that. I never overcharged anybody. But
he was sticking to that shit. Somebody got
angry.
Somebody got some money.
Yeah, somebody. Somebody got under your skin.
Like, I don't overcharge.
I don't overcharge. I charge what is necessary, and that's it. And then I take it to the DA, and we fucking prosecute that person.
Okay, Dante. You don't overcharge.
I don't fucking overcharge.
So wait a minute. What's the thing to those who have much
too much
power,
much responsibility is also given.
So
and I take that.
That's what's that.
And that's just, it just comes with the job, player. I hate it.
It does.
Yeah.
And I'm okay. The reason I brought up the conversation is not because I want it to stop. I know it's not just going to stop, but it needs to be discussed. Like, stop fucking calling people Uncle Toms or anything else because they worked in law enforcement.
Stop getting mad at this Black man for being on a commercial about credit cards. He's just trying to get his coins.
Oh my God. Yeah.
He's just trying to do his job.
Right. Right. So wait a minute. Right. You over here trying to make sure you get money in your county. Talking about, oh, you ain't got no. I'm working. I have a job.
So
you call me Uncle Tom? Are you on the clock? Are you on your clock? I don't know who this credit person was. I don't know who called you Uncle Tom, but these bitches are somehow like.
Let's bring it back to an MVB.
So yeah, we're
gonna take a break.
We're gonna write a song.
Take a break, and we're gonna talk about some MVBs and call it a day. We'll be back.
Bye.
Most valuable blacks.
Ooh. That's bad.
It was a little rough. Mm.
So who you got?
That's better than Kirk Franklin would have done.
Don't come for him.
But he would have a chorus behind him blowing, though.
And it would have been perfect.
True.
And you said, what
does
he do? That's what he does.
That's it.
Hire people? Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
Okay. So this week, I want to celebrate.
Hire somebody for that hairline.
Leave his hairline alone. This week, I want to celebrate some new music for my MVB. They're two sisters, and unfortunately, like, I'm not sure of
Chloe and Haley?
Nope. They're they got their shine. I love me some Chloe and Haley all day. But no, this week I want to shout out this musical duo. Why y'all trying to make it sound like I shaded them?
No, that was Dante. I'm sorry.
But no, these are two young Muslim girls. They're MCs. Like, it's a rap duo, which I, you know what I mean, was elated to see because, first of all of their music videos, like, I started, you know, trolling them on Instagram as well. Like,
trolling?
What is it called? Not trolling. Stalking? Whatever. Creeping on them?
I mean, it's the same.
Whatever. To me. I excessively looked into these individuals. And I'm just really excited to see it because they dress very piously. You know what I mean? Everything. They're
piously? Like, what's that mean?
They're
religious.
They're Muslim.
Oh, okay.
So do they wear hijabs?
Yes.
Yes, that's awesome. So they're out here rapping and
in hijabs. Okay. Fierce as ever.
I was gonna say that, and I didn't want it to sound bad. Like,
no.
Oh, they're cute.
Beautiful, beautiful young women. I don't know their names, but their rap duo group is called Ain't Afraid. AIN Afraid. And their music is so uplifting. So it's obviously religiously motivated. Not overly so for people who aren't into that kind of thing.
I don't like
overly. No. don't, please. But it's just the right balance. Like, and these women, they're not only just, like, talking about, you know, kind of fun things that we like to hear about, you know, uplifting stuff, but they're very clever with their lyrics and their lyricism, I guess it is. So they have a new album out there. It's called Ain't Afraid. And I just wanted to shout them out for MVB this week because, you know,
that.
It's been a while since I've listened to music in general, new music, and, you know, as other than Lil Nas X, which we extensively talked about. But it's been a while since I listened to new music. And for them to, number one, come out and these girls, their story started, they're twin sisters. They started rapping in the car. Their original, like, Instagram memes or reels. Are just videos of them kind of freestyling back and forth with each other, you know, words of encouragement kind of thing. And it kind of took off, you know, basically people were like, hey, I would like, you know, to hear some music from you guys. They sing as well as rap and it's really awesome stuff. So my MVB this week is, the rap duo Ain't Afraid. If you're into new music,
I appreciate
go check
them.
It out.
Because I want us as a community and also a country to like normalize hijabs and
please
Muslim
do.
People like they're people they have a religion, they could look at you as, you know, being Catholic the same way, like
they had
out.
A dope ass line in their song, and obviously because they're Muslim they don't curse, like isn't you
right.
know no raunchy shit like that as I am speaking right now. One of their dope lines was something along the lines of like, you can't even imagine my pretty because you can't see it, you know what I mean, which was clever,
right?
And also on their page, if you know, y'all check it out again, Ain't Afraid, on Instagram, Ain't Period Afraid, AINT. On their Instagram, they have videos where they show them designing their hijabs, their whole garments, the tie dyeing of it, and stuff like that. So they're celebrating their culture, like Muslim, from the top down to the bottom.
I appreciate that.
And the music is just like really good. I mean, they call out mumble rap, which needs to be called
Thank
out.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because it's trash.
Good Lord.
So yeah, shout out to their new album that was just released. And their one song that I really like is Praise Him. So if y'all have a listen,
okay.
Who you got
Fly.
For MVB? Mm-hmm. Right?
I guess we could put them on the
definitely
No A&A Fridays.
Yes, so it will definitely be in the rotation for things to listen to when you log on to our Facebook page.
Facebook?
Yeah, holler at us on Facebook. Who you got for MVB this week?
So my MVB is the first black woman, and let me get this right. I don't want to fuck this up. She's the first black person and first woman to ever be elected mayor of Boston. I'm sorry, sworn in, because the guy who was there is working under Biden's administration. So she was sworn in as that. And she was sworn in by U.S. Representative Ayanna Pressley. And she was given the oath by the first, let me get this right. by Justice Kimberly Budd, who became the first black woman to lead the state Supreme Judicial Court in 2020. And the reason that she decided to put herself in service was she started volunteering for the first black man to ever run for mayor in Boston, Melvin King. Yes. So her name is Kim Janey, and that is my MVP.
Yes.
Congratulations.
We're so many firsts. Like, that's good. It's unfortunate that, you know, we're in 2021 experiencing firsts of African Americans, but hey,
at least we just need to continue. Like, there's still other firsts we need to achieve.
Knocking them all
out. And it's great that she was sworn in by a bunch of other firsts right around her. Yeah. So that is bringing it. And it all started because she went to go help another black man.
As black women always do.
Yeah, they do.
my MVP is the first.
Yes!
Secretary of Defense, black Secretary of Defense, Lloyd Austin. He was nominated by President Biden. He was sworn in by Vice President Harris a couple weeks ago.
Hey, queen.
He's the first African-American to hold this cabinet seat. He has a long, storied career in the military. He was in the army. He attained the rank of 4-star general. He retired in 2016. So there was a little controversy with him recently being retired from the military and now taking.
And he was not the first motherfucker to do that.
He was not the first to do it.
So it wasn't a big deal.
They were trying. Of course, the Republicans was trying to use anything.
Yep.
So personally, being military as well, I'm super proud of Lloyd Austin, sir, for making it to this position and breaking another barrier for us. All I ask now is that, like, we start to focus on black officers in the military so that young black officers have something to look up to. Because despite there being Lloyd Austins out there when I was a lieutenant, I really didn't get to see that a lot. So it kind of sent me down a path where I could have achieved more, but I didn't, because I thought just making major was an accomplishment, which it is, but there's still more out there. And I think this is the first step towards making African Americans in the military, male or female, more visible and diverse, and basically motivating young officers to do more, to be more, and have those positions. So, congratulations, sir.
Hey. Respectfully.
And I just want to say, good afternoon. Did no one hear me? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
That's right. Just want to give a shout out to Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Marsha Hudge. You know, she was out.
Because I'm gonna ask you once, but I'm really not gonna ask you once.
Like, and everybody knew that she meant serious. They said, "Oh, good afternoon."
I said, "Good afternoon."
Okay, that's right. All right, thank you. So, I thought I was the only one.
Yeah. Did you not hear me say good afternoon?
Did you not see me?
I said it once. That's what's up. I love. I mean, to end on
I
a high note.
Diversity in general.
I was about to end on a high note. I love that this presidency so much. As first of all, we've had consistent diversity growth. We've seen, obviously, over the past couple of years, not the past couple, but prior to that. But now I'm loving it.
We have
so many people.
Native American secretary. We have a gay secretary. Trans deputy secretary. Right here is a lot, and I appreciate it.
I mean, this is, and the thing is, people like this is, oh, why we do this? I'm like, because this is what happens when you build policy, and these policies affect people's lives, so get over it.
And they experience it.
Yeah.
I guess so, it's not voting matters.
Duh.
Hey.
So, we're going to wrap this up for the podcast. We missed everybody. We gave you a little bit of something to talk about.
And we'll be back when we be back.
Right, and we'll be back, and we have a little bit more things to do. I want to say happy anniversary to all you guys. We had our anniversary.
Happy NOA podcast.
And check us out on Fridays. We'll be posting annual Friday playlist. We would like you all to, like, add your song choices of the week. And I'm going to build a link tree for us so you can get all of our social networks collected. So find us on NOA Pod, Not Our Ancestors, on Twitter. And yeah, you can follow us
on social media platforms. Yeah, tweet, like, subscribe, tell your friends about it.
Dante is going to be getting married soon, but
I can't wait.
And we'll come back with some more consistencies, some new episodes. So please tell your friends, and also if you have MVBs, please like and send those to our Facebook page as well. And let's talk about the black businesses that you guys got going.
Work on that. Yes, if you have any black businesses that you know, please share that with us.
Support black, buy black, everything black.
All things black.
She out here killing too, but we'll be back. We'll talk about her more next time.